You have your Bibles this morning, turn with us please to the book of Luke. The book of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 22. Luke chapter 22. Most of the time I have a pretty good idea. But I've studied this and I don't know exactly how it's going to go. I just know God said go. And I know I'm going with Him, so I know it'll be all right. Appreciate the good singing today. The message this morning was birthed in my heart out of this chapter in verse number 31 and 32. Let's read that, and then we'll pray. Then I'll show you how the Lord is dealing in my heart. The Bible said, and the Lord said, I like those words, don't you? You know, it really doesn't matter what I say and what you say. Boy, what the Lord said, that does matter. Amen. What thus saith the Lord? The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Let's read it again. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for this chapter in the Word of God. Lord, it is very, very rich. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to glean this morning that, Lord, you want us to, that would help us, that, Lord, that would speak to our hearts and help us in the days ahead, that our lives might count for thee. Speak to the heart, Lord, of that individual that doesn't know you this morning. I pray, Lord, that you draw them with cords of love. And Lord, I pray today that your name would be lifted up. And Lord, that you would draw men to yourself. God, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There's three desires that I want to look at this morning in this chapter. And I'm looking at, number one, the desire of Satan. And I'm looking at it first in the chapter because if you read the first few verses, which we will in a moment, we see what he's up to in the life of Judas Iscariot. And then I want to look at the desire of the Savior as it's portrayed here in this chapter. And then I want to look at the desire of the saints as it's portrayed here in this chapter. So I don't know what you'd call the message, but there are three desires that I want to concentrate on in this chapter. The Bible said in verse number 1, we'll talk about Peter in just a moment, but for just a little while, let's talk about Judas here. The Bible said, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes saw it, how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. I underlined the phrase this morning, being of the number. You know what I'm afraid this morning? I'm afraid that in good churches all around the world, that's all that some people are, is of the number. They're empty. They haven't answered that question, Brother Thurman, on a personal basis. They're in the crowd, but they're not in the Christ. They're of the number. Here was Judas Iscariot. He was of the number. He looked like one of them, talked like one of them, walked like one of them, acted like one of them. But when push come to shove, Satan's desire was to enter into this man's heart and cause him to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that Satan hates Jesus. He hates God. He hates the Bible. He hates God's people. He hates the church. He hates good singing. Amen. He hates the believer. He hates a nation whose God is the Lord. But listen, he has a desire. You go on down and the Bible said he went his way and he communed with the chief priests and the captains, how that he might betray him unto them. Now verse 5 spoke to my heart. The Bible said, and they were glad. There's a crowd in this world that's always glad when somebody gives in to the desire of Satan. Misery loves company. And there's always going to be a crowd that when someone gives in to the desire of Satan the way that Judas did, going to be glad about it. Amen. I believe with all of my heart this morning as we speak that we ought to ask ourselves this morning, have we run into the desire of Satan in our life? We know that as a believer, if you've ever been born again, we know that he cannot take up his abode in you, but we'll get to it in a moment. But he can desire to sift you as wheat, just like he did Peter. Here in the life of Judas Iscariot, the Bible said here, they coveted to give him money, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. This was being done behind closed doors. It was an agreement that was being made in the dark. But how many understands that this Bible promised what's going on in the dark will come out in the light? Amen. And the Lord Jesus will do that later in the chapter. We see the desire of Satan. And look in verse number 31 again. The Bible said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I want to say some things this morning. I don't know how far we'll get in the message. I just want to mind the Lord. You and I that are saved by the grace of God, we might as well just come to grips that Satan desires to have us and that Satan desires to sift us as wheat, the Word of God said. The Bible said here, you remember over there, I believe, Brother Thurman, in the text that you read, his name's going to be called Peter after he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That there's a play on words there with that little stone. Jesus is the living stone. He's the rock of ages. He's the cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone. But listen, he said to Peter, you're that little stone. You're going to be built upon that foundation, which is the Lord Jesus. But here, he doesn't say, Peter, Peter. He says, Simon, Simon. You say, preacher, I don't understand why. Let's go back for just a moment and we'll figure this out together in the chapter. Look, if you will, over here in verse number 24, the Bible said there was also strife among them. Let me back up a little bit. In verse number 21, Jesus said, Behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. I think that's fair enough. If you've got 12 men and the Son of God says to you, one of you, your hand's on the table, you're going to betray me. And another scripture, it said, he that taketh the sop, dippeth the sop with me. I think it's fair enough to look around the table and say, is it me? Is it you? Who is it? And begin to talk to one another. And that wouldn't, I don't believe that would have been held so much against Peter as to what's going on here. But look at the next verse. And there was also a strife among them. Can you imagine? I've got to get back in the text here a little bit later on. But Jesus is telling them, listen, this is my blood. This is my body. I'm fixing to die. And now, I'm talking just a few verses, there's strife among the brethren. And what are they concerned about? Which should be accounted the greatest?
Beloved friend, listen, Satan desires to have you and to have me. And one of the ways that he'll desire, and one of the ways that desire will be carried out, is for you and I to begin to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. I tell you, if these men would have been thinking clearly and thinking spiritually, they would have all said, hallelujah, we'll just be glad to have a spot in the kingdom. It doesn't matter who's the closest to the throne, just as long as we're around the throne together in the city of God. Here, the word of God said, there's a strife among them. He said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. They that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, watch this, as he that doth serve. Here Jesus is using Simon, Simon, because the man of God, Peter, is leaning more towards the old man than he is the new man. And so Jesus is calling him by the name that he ought to be called by. Every one of us has a new name written down in glory. Amen. And I tell you, sometimes if we get like these disciples did, get full of ourselves and full of pride and thinking we ought to be the one that'd be the greatest in the kingdom, God has a way of knocking us down a notch or two. He might just let Satan come along and sift us as wheat. The word of God said here, but ye shall not be so. You're going to be like the one that served. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But watch this now. Jesus said, but I am among you as one that serveth. You see, when you get to talking about a kingdom, all they could think about was a king. But I'm telling you, listen, Jesus, my friend, was a servant king. And Jesus was the one that girded himself and served them in that upper room. And they didn't get that lesson very well. And so he calls him Simon, Simon, the desire of Satan. He said, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. I'm appointed unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you might eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I've tried my best to study this out. I've tried my best to get in my heart and get in my mind what Jesus is saying here. You say, well, preacher, you just read what he's saying. What does it mean to be sifted as wheat? You remember in the Bible, we're taught about the winnowing of the wheat. It's not the same thing. The winnowing of the wheat, they would usually build the barn up on a hill. And usually in the evening, there would be a breeze. It couldn't be real windy because a real strong wind would blow the wheat and the chaff away. But just a gentle breeze is all it took. I commented to the men the other day out at the shelter. We were sitting out there taking a break and resting. I commented on it. It just seems like there's always just a breeze, a gentle breeze coming through there. And the fellas said, they're not going to buy me the hammock until we get done. They're afraid I won't get out of it. Amen. But anyway, they take that weed and they would take that pitchfork and they would lift it up and just throw it up in the air. And the good stuff would just fall down. It was heavier than the chaff. And the wind, the breeze would carry away the chaff. But the sifting of the wheat is different. How many understands anything at all about sifting wheat? There's a couple of things you can do. The modern day things have got a handle on them. You can squeeze it. And what it's doing, the wheat is on, up here. And what it's doing is it goes in there and it stirs back and forth. You can do it with a whisk. You can also do it by shaking it. In Bible times, Brother Houston, what I could study was just about exactly what we built to sift the sand with last year. It's about that big, got sides on it about like that, and the ladies would take it and they would shake it. Amen. You say, preacher, what's Jesus saying? Here's what he's saying. Satan desires to have you. He desires to shake you. He desires to stir around in your life. Now listen, it's the good stuff that's fallen out. And the good stuff is falling down when you see it. You say, preacher, what in the world's Satan up to? I tell you what he wants to do. He wants to cause you to turn your back on God. He wants to cause you to get a distance between you and God. He wants to cause you to deny God. He wants to cause you that the good stuff that only God can put in a man's life would be missing in your life and in mine. He wants to take that out of the way. I've often wondered how it is that two people or two families, I've said this often, can go through the same kind of trial and yet one get closer to the Lord and the other one get farther away from the Lord. One just stays faithful to the Bible, stays faithful to the church, stays faithful to pray. And another, you can't find them in church. I tell you, Satan is sifting in both families. Amen. But one is determined, hey, you're not going to get the good stuff. I'm going to keep believing God. That was seen in the life of Job. Amen. He was being sifted. And yet he would not deny the Lord. Here, Peter, the Bible said here, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now listen to me. This is how God spoke to my heart. Brother Gale, you're pretty well up there in years. You got to be at least 50 years old, ain't you, brother? You're old enough to vote. Brother Gale said he was old enough to vote. You know what? Satan still desires to have you.
Amen.
And to sift you as wheat.
Amen.
This man's full of good stuff. And Satan would like nothing more than to just shake up his life and shake the good stuff out of him and nothing be left but that old rotten Gale, that old rotten Rick, amen, that one that didn't know God. You say, preacher, you're out of your mind. No, listen to me. These little youngins that's over here, these little youngins that's over there, Satan desires to sift them. The teenagers that are in here, Satan desires to sift them. Every mom, every dad, every mamaw, every papaw, every one of us that's in this room, Satan desires, listen, to sift you as wheat. He hates God. And he hates anybody that wants to serve God and believe God and have a life that honors and glorifies God. And so he comes along and he wants to sift us as wheat. You know, if that were the end of the story, it would be a sad story. Let me give you some things this morning. I can see right now I'm not going to get done. That's okay. That's the blessing of being a pastor. There's always Sunday night. Let me give you something right here. Jesus uses a word that's very, very important in the Bible. He said, but. Do you know where we'd be without that? Brother Grizzle, we'd be in a heap of trouble. You say, preacher, he said he prayed for Simon. He didn't say nothing about praying for us. How about Hebrews? He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. No wonder the psalmist said, he's a very present help in a time of need. If you'll look here in the Word of God, you get on down through here and listen. He said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Let me give you something. Listen to me carefully right here. I'll try to get this across. He's not talking about when Peter gets saved, when he said converted. We use that word sometimes. So-and-so got converted, meaning that they were born again, meaning that they were saved. But here he's talking to Simon. He's talking to a man that's been saved by the grace of God, the one that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't say, I'm halfway sure. He said, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But you say, preacher, what kind of conversion are you talking about? Same kind many Christians need today. I said many Christians need today. Simon Peter is fixing to experience something that's going to cause him, Brother John, to no longer think of himself more highly than he ought to think. He's going to become humble and realize that without him, I can do nothing. That's a good place to be for a believer. Without him, you and I can do nothing. You say, preacher, how does he get there? Watch this. The Bible said, he said unto him, Lord. Well, that's a good word, isn't it? I believe Peter meant that. He said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Just a few verses earlier, Brother Steve, Peter and the other disciples are in a strife, a little bit of argument. I think I ought to get to sit. Even the moms got in on this once. You remember? I want you to grant, I believe it was James and John, I want you to grant one of them to sit on the right hand, one of them sit on the left hand. Jesus said, that's not mine to give, but that's my Father which is in heaven. Amen. Listen. Peter's got one thing in mind. Let me give you something. Jesus knew who was talking. He knew that it wasn't Peter talking, it was Simon talking. You see, if it had been Peter talking, he might have said something like this, Brother Johnny, first. He might have said, Lord, just a little while ago, I was in an argument with them boys, and I need you to forgive me. I need to quit thinking like that, Lord. I need you to forgive me, and I need you to help me to get in a place where you can bless me and where I can serve you. But no, hey, let me just tell you something. There'll be times in your life and my life that the old flesh will raise up, and we'll think we can do it with or without God, and God will let us fall on our face and let us realize, beloved, we cannot do it without him. Somebody said, well, Peter, old Simon, man, he's out there. If you read the chapter, he's out there. Look at this right here. Look at verse 45. Jesus is in the garden. Jesus is praying. In verse 42, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And the word of God said in verse number 45, when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Let me give you something. I never had seen this before. It said for sorrow. Did it say that right there in the Bible? In all my studies, I had never picked up on that before. Let me ask you something. Is there anybody in this room who's ever cried yourself to sleep? Answer me. Has ever just had such a heavy heart? Now listen. You say, preacher, I don't understand why that. I believe that it's beginning to set in on them. He went, as it were, a stone's throw. Could it be, beloved, listen, could it be? He had told them, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die. Could it be that it's beginning to set in on them that they're going to be here without him? They're sleeping for sorrow. Jesus said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Let me tell you something right now. Your flesh will go to sleep on God too. Amen. The flesh doesn't know anything about sorrow being turned into joy. That's the spirit that understands and knows that. Jesus said that their flesh indeed was willing, or the spirit indeed was willing, but their flesh was weak. You go on down and the word of God said in verse 48, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? You come on down and Jesus is being led away. I picked up on something else in the story. The Bible said in one of them, verse number 50, smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. You have to read, beloved, listen, this is in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Luke I think it's the book of John. I'm almost sure. I'm going on memory. I studied it early this morning. The book of John tells us it was Peter that did it. Peter took his sword and knocked the ear off the side of his head. Matthew does not mention this. Mark does not mention this. John does not mention this. But Luke said he touched it. Put it right back on. Luke, Brother Ralph, was the physician. I believe Luke said, "Ooh, did you see that?" Luke understood what it meant. You say, "Preacher, where are you going with this?" Beloved, if you'll look at the text, I won't take the time to read it all, but not once, not twice, but three times, Simon Peter denied that he knew the Lord. He denied that he knew the Lord. Satan has a desire. He said, "Preacher, that'll never happen in my life. It's a mistake to even say that." We could say something like, "By God's help, with God's help, and by God's grace, I don't ever want that to happen in my life." Beloved, there's a lot better preachers than I have stood in pulpits before and listened for years and years and years and preached the truth and went astray. Sometimes I believe it's because simply they thought of themselves more highly than they ought to think. They forgot. When you run into a preacher that's always talking about how much you need him, listen to me carefully. Never one time mention how much he needs you. He's out of balance. You know what happens to a washing machine when it gets out of balance, don't you? It makes a racket. But that's all it's doing. It's not doing a good job cleaning the clothes anymore. It's out of balance. It's making a racket. And you leave it out of balance long enough, it'll fall bearing out of it. It'll begin to leak water in the floor and be fit for nothing. Beloved, Peter had gotten out of balance. Peter was thinking about things in a way that he thought he had the bull by the horns. And he found out it wasn't like Peter thought. It was like Jesus said, "Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times." I want to share something with you this morning. We'll come back tonight. But I want you to go with me over to the book of Acts. We're talking about the desire of Satan. I believe we'd pray more earnestly, more intensely for our children, for our teenagers, for our spouses, if we only knew how much Satan desired to sift them as wheat. Go with me to the book of Acts for just a moment, please. You remember what Jesus said to Peter, or to Simon. He said, "Simon, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." You remember that, right? Look with me, if you will, in the book of Acts, chapter number 5, for just a moment. When you come down through here, and this has actually taken place very close to the same location in the court. The Bible said in verse number 25, "Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." You remember up in verse 19, Peter's locked up. The angel of the Lord comes, shakes the gate open. Let him out. Peter knows a lot more now. He's learned some things. By the way, where he really started learning was on the boat. When somebody said, "It is the Lord," he girded himself, jumped in because he is naked, the Word of God said. And when they came to shore, Jesus had bread, Jesus had fish, and he looked at him and said, "Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" Jesus is starting in a conversation that will end in a conversion. You remember, Peter's the one that said, Why, Lord, if all of them deny you, I'll go with you. Jesus said, do you really love me more than these? Look how it's going. Peter, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love. Then he asked him again, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. I believe that touched Peter's heart. I believe it actually started even before that, Brother Gale, when Jesus arose. You remember when he arose? He said to Mary, go tell my disciples and Peter. It could be, beloved, listen, that if he would have just said, go tell my disciples, that Peter would have stood over in the corner and said, I used to be one of his disciples. The boys, I blew it that day. 3 times before that rooster crowed, I said I didn't know him. I'm not one of his disciples anymore. And you know what Jesus was doing when he said, and Peter? He put the emphasis right there. He said, I want you to let him know I love him. I want you to let him know, glory to God, I'm about to shout, there's forgiveness. I want you to let him know he's got another shot at it. I want you to let him know I can still use him for the glory of God Almighty. That blesses my heart. Go tell my disciples and Peter. Why are there so many people in the world taking their own life? Because they believe it's hopeless. Why are there so many people that used to be in church that aren't in church? Because they think they've offended God in such a way that God could never help them and never use them again. That's a lie. God is still on the throne. You come over, Peter. He has that conversation with the Lord by the seashore. You come over into the book of Acts, and Peter's one of 120 that gathered in the upper room and waited on the promise of the Father. You said, preacher, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. The Holy Ghost fell. And Peter, beloved, understood then that it's not what I say, it's what he says. I can't do anything without him, but blessed be God, there's not one thing that I can't do with him. If I have Jesus, I can get the job done. You come on over into the book of Acts. You remember in chapter number 3, I believe it was, Peter and John went up to the temple and they ran into this man that was lame. This man was begging alms. Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You say, preacher, what happened? I tell you what happened. There's a bunch of Pharisees and a bunch of Sadducees that begin to think we're losing our grip on this thing. They're following Peter. They're following John. They perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now this man that's experienced this conversion, Satan desired to have him that he might sift him as wheat. But he's experienced this conversion. Look at him now in chapter number 5. We started reading in verse 25. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. I bet that made them scratch their head. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, I want you to look at this. You talk about a conversion. He's standing in the same place when just a few days before he said, I don't know him. He denied, I don't know him. But now the word of God said, these men have filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. Let me just say this. They didn't fill Jerusalem, Brother Thurman, with their doctrine. They filled Jerusalem with his doctrine. They were preaching the word of God everywhere they went. And watch what the Bible said. The Bible said here, when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked him, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, you know what, we've changed our mind. This is going to cause us some trouble and cause you some trouble, so we'll just get along with you all right now, and we won't do this anymore if you'll just let us go. The Bible don't read like that, does it? Peter didn't say, well, I never did know him anyway. No, Peter's no longer interested in the easy way out. Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Beloved, that's a conversion in any believer's life. When you get to the place where you can say, doesn't matter what man says, we ought to obey God rather than man. Satan meant it to him for evil, but God meant it for good. God knew that Peter would be the one that would stand up on the day of Pentecost and preach the word of God, and 3,000 souls would be saved in one day. Amen. God knew. The Bible said here, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Watch this. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses. What about that, Brother Steve? That's all we are next Saturday mornings, his witnesses. And hopefully between now and then, but especially then. Oh, beloved, listen, if you get on the, did I say a while ago, Parkwood Baptist Church? Is that what I said? But anyway, that's the church down there in Houston. If you get on their site, they go visiting the first Saturday of every month. But it spoke to my heart to have men's visitation every Thursday. Did somebody say, uh-oh? Ruh-roh, amen. But that blessed my heart. They have a missions program. I clicked on two or three of the messages, Brother Henry. That was good stuff they were preaching, amen. You know what? The Word of God's the same everywhere. Amen. I hope and pray to God I'm right. But I believe I am. I think I listened to enough Bible read or quoted that I would know if they had one of them other things. How many knows what I just said? I believe they had the right Bible. Let me tell you something. Satan, he desires. I've been praying for our young people, been praying for our boys, our girls, our teenagers. But you all can sit there this morning and say, Pastor, Satan desires to have you. Amen. He might sift you like wheat. Amen. Shake every good thing that God ever put in you out. So you're fit for nothing. And you'd be right. And I could stand here and look at the congregation and say the same thing. Marriages nowadays don't last like they used to. One of the reasons is we've lost sight of the fact that when you're looking at your wife, Satan desires to have her, to sift her like wheat. You say, how's he going to get her? It don't matter to him. He's got all kinds of tricks up his sleeve. How many knows that? Go down there to work and you know, start taking a break with somebody, and all of a sudden, they listen so much better than your husband does. Satan desires to have them. He wants the marriage. You say, preacher, why does he want the marriage? Because marriage honors God. The Bible said marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Amen. Marriage honors God. Why does he want the young people? Because he don't want the young people to honor God. Why does he have the colleges and the institutions full of garbage? Because he knows that garbage does not honor God. Matter of fact, the garbage that's being spewed in most of these places dishonors God. Dishonors God's word. You can't even get settled that God made a man. And I'll throw this out free of charge. And he made a woman. Lord willing, my baby daughter's fixing to have our 10th grandchild. Couldn't you just see walking up to me down at the hospital, pecking on my shoulder, saying, "Pastor, what is it?" I turn around and say, "We don't know."
Yeah.
"Don't think so, Brother Sam. We already know it's a girl." That's the way God still makes them. Male and female created he them. Satan desires. Let me just say this. Brother John, Satan desires to have this church. He'd like to just shake this church. Shake every good thing in it out. And it'd be left for nothing. He has a desire. And he's glad greater is he that's in us. Now watch this. Peter failed the Lord miserably. How many can agree with that? Had it been me, I don't believe, had it been me, if it had been up to me, Brother Houston, I believe I'd have got John to preach on the day of Pentecost. One that went with me all the way to Calvary. The one I could hang here and look down and say, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mom, thy mother." But I believe Jesus is sending out a message today, Brother Paul. No matter how bad we failed him, he can still pick us up. He can still dust us off. And he can still use us for the glory of God Almighty. He desires to have you. I think about little Camden, Sister Gwen. He's not back there, is he? He's not. Where's he at? He's always over yonder. Learning about Jesus. Amen. I'm glad he ain't back here because his head would probably swell up while I'm talking about him. That would mess up his hairdo. The boy's got a perfect hairdo. Y'all know it, don't you? Josh, you know it, don't you? He wants that little boy. He wants him bad. He'll do anything in his power that he can to sift him. Like wheat. Mom and dad and the church and Sunday school, children's church, trying to put everything good that they can in their lives. Satan wants to put them over in the sieve. Rake around. Stir around. Get all that good stuff out of their lives. Thank God this morning we have a Savior. Peter figured that out. Peter figured out what he was. Jesus done told him, "Without me, you can do nothing." But a lot of us are like Peter, like Simon. We can't learn just by listening. We have to learn by experience. Amen.
Amen.
God's let me stand before Brother Gale and fall flat on my face. One young man got up to preach. He was so excited God had called him to preach. I'll give this one to you, Brother Lucas, okay? He was just so stirred up and excited. He was going to tell the world, buddy. He got up behind the pulpit and he ran out of something to say inside of 5 minutes. He went up. Boy, he was just ready to tell the world. He come down real sheepish-like. And he sat down alongside of an old preacher. And the old preacher whispered to him and said, "Son, if you'd have went up like you come down, you could have come down like you went up." We can't do anything without him. We can't do anything without him. Satan desires to sift, shake, prod. But God said, "When you're converted, strengthen the brethren." Think about this for just a minute, and I'm done. Think about the impact that Peter's life
had on James and John and Andrew. Think about the impact on Philip. All those men and all those people, think about the impact that his life had on them. Satan thought he had won. You mentioned this morning, Brother Thurman, down there in the valley. I believe Satan thought, look at my giant. Hey, nobody can take my giant. God sent a little shepherd boy out there with a sling and five smooth stones from the brook. He said, boy, that sling was something. No, that shepherd's God was something. I always try to say this. I say it kiddingly, but it had that stone had a GPS on it. Yeah. I believe that David could have stood with his back towards him and went.
Amen.
You say GPS in those days? God's positioning system. God positioned that stone just right. You say, how do you know God was in it? You hit a man with hard enough with a stone right there to do what it done to Goliath. Tell me which way he ought to fall. He didn't fall backwards. He fell forwards. God lets us in on some things just to know that He's in it.
Amen.
It wasn't just the forces of nature. It was the forces of an almighty God that took care of that giant. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning. As we come to a close, thinking about, Father, the truth that's portrayed in front of us today. Satan desired to have Simon. He desires to have us. He desires to have our homes. He desires to have our church. Lord, one of the things that's been going on for years, he desires to have our country. He wants us to be a godless country. He would like to change the Pledge of Allegiance. He would like to change the fact that, Lord, You made a male and female. He would like to change the fact, Lord, that marriage is one man and one woman for one lifetime. Lord, I'm so grateful that though Satan desires to have us and to sift us as wheat, You've prayed for us, Lord. Lord, You're still praying for us. And Lord, by the grace of God, we'll make it. Father, I pray for our teenagers today. Lord, I know that they face some big obstacles. Lord, may they never forget that God is bigger than the biggest obstacle. Lord, that He's trustworthy. Lord, that we don't have to deny You. But Lord, we can, by the grace of God, serve You. You're trustworthy, Lord. We can trust You as our Savior. We can serve You. Have a place in the kingdom. Lord, I pray You'll save the lost. Strengthen the child of God.